But because of that is why healing is possible. Because if something goes wrong in your body, like it did in mine, then what do you have to do? You have to raise your standard for food intake. And if you raise the standard for food intake, and we're just talking physical right now, it's true for every other part of human nature too. But so you raise your standard for food intake, and within 1 year, you will have rebuilt 98% of your body to a higher standard.
Expanding possibilities, the Mindset Zone.
I'm your host, Anna Malikian. And my mission is to support individuals and organizations to increase their impact while avoiding burnout. If you want to work smarter, not harder, I can help you. If you want to go from burnout to full engagement, let's talk. Reach me at anna@mindset.zone. Yes, instead of .com, it's .zone. You can also access all the episode notes, links, and other amazing resources at mindset.zone. Today, our special guest is Udo Erasmus. Udo is a visionary in the field of health and nutrition, renowned for his groundbreaking work on the role of fats and oils in human health. He's the author of the book Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, which has been instrumental in reshaping our understanding of the critical role of essential fatty acids in our well-being. He's committed to improve global health through education and highly quality nutritional products that has made him a respectful figure in the wellness community. Welcome to the Mindset Zone, Udo.
Hi, glad to be on, Anna.
And you have done, I think it's your educational mission, you have a ton of podcasts out there for people really to learn about your work, the history of your life, the importance of fats. But there was an angle that I saw some hints on some of your conversations that I really want to explore today. That is, you have an eye to spot contradictions, like the paradoxes in life and even in science. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I don't think about it so much, but it's true. It's not like I'm looking for contradictions. I'm actually looking because behind every contradiction, there's a unity. And so I've always been looking, okay, here's a symptom. And what's the cause? So I go back, what's the cause? Now I say about the cause, what's the symptom? No, this is a symptom. What's the cause? And then I find that cause. And then I say, okay, that's a symptom. What's the cause behind that? And so I'm always trying to bring it backward into, it's, if you look at the world, it's not contradictory. It's one world. It's one planet. It's one life. It's one truth. It's one correct answer to a math question, to an arithmetic question. 2 + 2 = 4. And when you know that it's 4, then you automatically also know what it's not.
Yes.
Because if it's 4 is the right answer, then there's infinite -1 wrong answers. And you know all the wrong answers just because you know the right answer. And I think my thing about contradiction has been more about finding what is the whole, what is the one, what is the unity, what is the one place where truth dwells or where you can rely on. Because if you're bouncing around between contradictions, you don't know what to rely on. And yeah. I came out of a war, so for me, safety was really important, but safety requires reliance. And reliance requires a solid foundation. So I'm always looking for what is the solid foundation behind all the things that we fight about and all the things where one side and the other side and they can't get together. It's like when we fight about things, we're missing that we're all human beings.
Yes.
And that we all get pain and that we all wish to have joy and we don't like pain. And so when we're at the level of where we're fighting about things, it's because we have forgotten, we've moved off of our commonality. And now it seems like we're all trying to do something different.
When you are describing this, it's almost there are two levels there. It's the science. So you are a curious mind, always peeling the onion to know why, what is the symptom of what. And at the same time, another level is almost a metaphysical level, knowing that there is that one truth behind everything. And many of the contradictions is in the appearance. And if we can keep peeling the layers and keep asking the right questions, we can find that oneness at the end of it.
In fact, I also look for the contradiction between science and metaphysics, because somewhere in the nature of things, somewhere in the search for truth, physics and metaphysics are the same.
Mm.
And in science, we usually look at the outside, what's going on the outside. In metaphysics, we tend to be looking on the inside. In science, in biology, they call it science, study of life. But biology is not the study of life. Biology is the study of form and function. And when I studied biology, because I wanted to know what life is, I didn't get life. I thought we would get life in a beaker, a glass beaker. It would be liquid and shining. And they'd be saying, there's life. And that's how I pictured it, right? But I never got it. Where I learned about life was actually in the teachings of the masters, because the masters were teachers of human nature.
Yes.
And biology looks at the outside world. I had a philosophy of a science professor. He said, one of the things he said was, you can't be objective about yourself. And I thought about it and I said, well, no, that doesn't really make sense. Because if I go to a doctor and I have a problem, the doctor asks me a question. So he says, where does it hurt? Oh, in my knee. Is it in the front or the back? Oh, it's in the back. Okay, when I push there, does it hurt more or less? No difference. And then, so he asked me a bunch of questions and he expects me to give him objective answers about my situation that he can then use to diagnose and to figure out what to do about it, right? So my professor says, you can't be objective about yourself. So I'm thinking about, okay. So I asked him, what is objectivity? Objectivity is an attitude. Okay, so can you learn that attitude? Yeah, of course, we teach students that every year. Okay, if you've learned the attitude, you should be able to, once you've learned the attitude, you should be able to focus outward and you should be able to focus it inward too. And it would drive him nuts because he had memorized that you can't be objective about subjective, but he didn't have an answer because what I said made sense.
Yes, but you exposed that apparent contradiction that at the end was not a contradiction.
There is no contradiction, because the truth is, when I'm in a calm place, you know, you can't do good science if you're not in a calm place. Because if you have an emotion or an agenda, there's mental content that you're bringing into your observations. If you want to do objective observations and only describe what's there, then you have to have nothing going on inside of you. You have to be in a calm feeling. You can't be in your head with preconceived ideas. Then you can observe and see what's there. The same thing is true inside. If I go to a calm place and I close my eyes and I bring my focus into the space my body occupies, I can observe what's there. And I can see light there, and I can hear sound there, and I can feel something there, and I can taste something there, all in the energy inside, if I sit still enough to be able to notice it. So that's objective about subjective. So you can be objective about objective and you can be objective about subjective.
I love it.
Same attitude required.
Yes. And going back to a moment that your life really changed, that has to do with being with a doctor and the doctor not having the answers, was when you were, as an adult, you got pesticide poisoning.
Yeah.
And the medicine was not giving you an answer that made sense. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, when my marriage broke up, I was quite upset. So I took, and I wanted to kill something. You know, I was really upset. You know, immature, stupid, upset, but that's what it was. And so I took a job as a pesticide sprayer, because I know the only reason we make pesticides is to kill living things.
Yes.
Either we kill them by wrecking their respiration or we wreck their nervous system. And so I took a job as a pesticide sprayer, and I was really careless, and I walked barefoot through the lawns I'd sprayed with weed killers, and the skin came off the bottom of my feet. Then I wore rubber boots. It was a summer job. I like to wear a bathing suit because I'm fair-skinned, and I always wanted to have a tan. If I could have painted my eyes brown, I would have painted my eyes brown, and I wished that I had black hair because I was dissatisfied with myself. So I took this job, and after 3 years of doing the job carelessly, I got poisoned. So I went to the doctor, and I should have known that what her answer would be, but I said to her, what do you have for pesticide poisoning? She said, nothing. And at that point, I was like, okay, my health is my responsibility. My doctor is not going to be of any help to me. I better figure it out myself. I knew that the body is made from food, water, and air, and I was really focused on food. So I went into the research because I had background in biochemistry and genetics and biology and had some psychology as well. And I went into the research and started looking at nutrition and health, nutrition and disease. I also knew that the body is always turning over. Like the body is a construction site. And it's always turning over. You know, your skin comes off in the shower, you know that. And the lining of your digestive tract is always shedding, and that has to always be replaced. So it turns out that all of the atoms in your body today, right now, Anna, if we got together a year from now, you would be 98% a completely new person.
Wow.
98% of the atoms in your body are removed and replaced every year. If you look at the water in your body, your body's maybe 70% water. Every month, if you drink like you're supposed to drink, you drink more than your body weight in water every month. So every year, you drink about 15 times your body weight just in water. So that's always turning over. So it's always going through you, and it's carrying toxins out, and it's making sure that there's enough water in your cells so all the chemical reactions can happen. But it's always turning over. Well, vitamin C turns over in your body too, and magnesium turns over in your body too, and oxygen turns over in your body too. And they do it all at different paces. So your body is a constantly moving construction site. But because of that is why healing is possible. Because if something goes wrong in your body, like it did in mine, then what do you have to do? You have to raise your standard for food intake. And if you raise the standard for food intake, and we're just talking physical right now, it's true for every other part of human nature too. But so you raise your standard for food intake, and within 1 year, you will have rebuilt 98% of your body to a higher standard.
Wow.
That's healing. That's what healing is. That's why healing is possible. That's why it shouldn't be done with drugs. It should be done with the right kind of natural molecules.
Oh, okay. You realize that your health was your responsibility. You use your inquisitive mind and your training to learn about how you could heal. And how did the fats came into the picture?
Okay, so I was looking at everything because the body's made out of food, and there are 42 essential nutrients, 18 minerals, 13 vitamins, 9 essential amino acids that come from protein, and 2 essential fatty acids that come from oils. Those are the 42 essential nutrients. Only one of those that come from oils was known when I got poisoned in 1980. Okay, so I was looking at all of that. How do I put a program together that has a high standard? And I got stuck on oils because one day I read a research article about omega-6, which is one of the essential fatty acids. And essential fatty acid or essential nutrient means you have to have it to live and be healthy. You can't make it from anything else in your body, and therefore you have to bring it in from outside. That's the first part. Second part is, if you don't do that, then your health is going to deteriorate. You're going to get deficiency symptoms. Your gut body is going to degenerate. And if you don't get enough long enough, you die. That's how important these nutrients are. And then the third part is, if your health is deteriorating because you don't get enough of an essential nutrient, but before you die, you bring enough of it back into your body, then all of the symptoms from not getting enough are reversed, because life knows how to build you a good body, provided you make sure at your mouth here that all the building blocks it needs to do it, land in your body. And if you want optimum health, then you want to bring them in optimum quantities. If you're happy with minimum health, then you only bring in minimums, right? That's the definition of an essential nutrient. And I read a study that says omega-6 is an essential nutrient. It's called linoleic acid. It's an essential nutrient by that definition. And the very next study I read says omega-6 gives you cancer and kills you. Talk about contradictions.
Yep.
You know, my head blew up. Wah! How can that be? I have to have it and then it kills me?
Yep.
You know, when I was a kid, people said that about God. God loves you unconditionally. He makes sure you breathe while you're sleeping. And, you know, he makes sure your kidneys work and your bladder fills up and lets you know when you need to go pee and all of that. Loves you unconditionally. But if you look at him, he's going to kill you. Maybe that's where the contradiction comes from. No, that there's something wrong with that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's, no, how can that be? But how beautiful that contradiction, that I ran into that contradiction, because it forced me to look deeper. I must be missing something. How do I resolve something that is essential for me and then kills me? How do I resolve that? There must be something more that there must be something I'm missing. And that contradiction, just, it really drove me crazy. I needed to know the answer. I had to know the answer. And that made me look deeper. And what I realized is that what we blame on oils or blame on omega-6s is actually not about omega-6s. They're essential. But what happens when we make oils, most of the oils have quite a bit of omega-6 in them. We damage some of them. We damage about 1% of the molecules. And then in a tablespoon of an oil that is 1% damaged, well, I'm going to ask you the question, Anna. How many damaged molecules? You probably heard it, but have you heard it?
Yes, but I don't remember the number.
Okay, so that's good. So how many damaged molecules will be in a tablespoon of oil that is 1% damaged by the processing?
Because I don't have any idea of how many molecules will be there in a spoon.
No, and most people don't.
Percentage.
Yeah, and most people don't know that. That's why I'm asking the question, because when people guess, you'll see why. I'll show you.
Repeat the question.
Okay, you have a tablespoon of an oil that is 1% damaged by the processing. How many damaged molecules will be in that tablespoon of 1% damaged oil?
1,000.
Okay, 1,000. Okay, would you like to know what the actual number is?
Yes.
Okay, so 1,000 has 3 zeros on it, right? But the actual number has 19 zeros on it.
Wow.
So your estimate is 60 quadrillion times too low.
Off.
Now, here's why I say that. See, people don't know. You don't know how small molecules are. Yeah, it's just a tablespoon. Then you say, oh, it's only 1%. That's what the industry told me, right? But when you do the math, you find out that there's more than a million damaged molecules for every one of your body's 60 trillion cells in that one tablespoon of 1% damaged oil. So then I say to people, okay, so you underestimated by 60 quadrillion times how many molecules there are. So now you're going to the airport and you're gonna go fly to see your parents or your friends for the holidays. And you're ready to get on the airplane and you've got your ticket and you got your handbag and you got everything and your luggage is checked and everything's, and you're ready, just about ready to go on it. And somebody who only tells the truth taps you on the shoulder and says to you, Anna, by the way, did you know that your chance of crashing and dying on this trip home is 60 quadrillion times higher than you thought it was? Would you get on the airplane?
No.
No, and when I was in Ireland, I told him, hey, I would canoe back to Canada. My chance wouldn't be good, but I would take that chance over getting on the airplane that is 60 quadrillion times more likely to crash than I thought it was. And why I do that is because people don't know. Nobody's told them. But if you realize that you're underestimating by 60 quadrillion times how much damage you're doing to your body with the oils that you use, and everybody uses them, would you think that maybe you should reconsider what kind of oils you would put in your body?
Absolutely.
to look for oils that are made with health in mind. So when I did that math, I said, I can't get healthy in oils like that. We should make them with health in mind. And then I developed a method for making oils with health in mind, where they're damaged by light, by oxygen, by heat. They're our most sensitive essential nutrients. They need the most protection, and we give them the least protection. And so we're doing something to ourselves, because not only do we get the 1% damaged oil, but there's pesticides in it. And there's plastic in it. Those don't belong in the body. And you use two to four tablespoons. You multiply that number by that. And then if you fry them, you got to multiply it by 3 to 6 times. Right? The number's getting bigger and bigger, yes. Right? And you do that for 30 years every day, then you got to multiply that number by almost 11,000 for the number of days in 30 years.
Wow.
And so when you start looking at it that way, you have to say, more health problems come from damaged oils than any other part of nutrition. And more health benefits will accrue if you give your body the oil change it needs, where you get rid of the dirty oils and you replace them with clean oils.
The right clean oils. But that was another challenge, because when you start to look around for healthy oils, there were not many around.
There weren't really any. None with omega-6s and none with omega-3s, because all of those were treated with sodium hydroxide, very corrosive base, then phosphoric acid, very corrosive acid, then bleached with bleaching clays, then they went rancid, then they smelled bad, then they had to be heated to frying temperature for about half an hour to blow off the rancid molecules. Wow. So this oil has been fried before it goes in the bottle. When you buy it, it's already been fried once, or at least heated to frying temperature, right? They didn't put it in a frying pan. So you get, and that's where the damage comes from. And so it's light, oxygen, and heat that are the most problematic. So then if you want to make oils with health in mind, you got to start with organically grown seeds, no pesticides. You want to package them in glass, not plastic, no plastic in the oil. You want to make a method for pressing and filtering and settling and filling the oil into the bottles that completely excludes light and oxygen and is done at a temperature that doesn't damage the oil. And that's basically what we built. That's what I built. That's what I put together conceptually. And then we had engineers make parts for the presses so that we could make oil like that.
And that became your signature, the Udu oil.
That became flax oil. Flax oil was the first oil. Then the reason why is I found out in 1981, the day year after I got poisoned, so my timing was perfect for getting poisoned, that 3 is too low in 99% of the population, too low for optimum health. And every cell needs it, and it's essential, you can't make it. So I thought, oh my God, if we could make oils with health in mind and we could bring the missing omega-3s back into the diet of people, oh my God, we could help almost everybody. And you know, when you get something where you can do a lot of good for a lot of people, your heart starts to sing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
There's something in human beings, when you help, it feels good.
Yes.
And when you hurt, it doesn't feel good. But when you help, and I said, oh my God, I have a purpose. I found a purpose for my life. Oh my God, this is worth doing. Oh my God, we could help almost everybody. And so that, I just became so lit up, inspired. It's the inspiration that drove the whole project. And we worked really hard, and we were broke. I was broke for 15 years doing this. But I was doing it because it was worth doing. And I moved in with my mother to get it done. So she said, yeah, you can have free room and board. And so I worked on writing the book and doing all the research and putting all that together. And then in 1986, we started making flaxseed oil, the richest source of omega-3s. But then in a couple of years later, I became omega-6 deficient on flax oil, because the ratio between the two is important. You get too much of one, it crowds out the other. You get too much of the other, crowds one, because they use the same mechanisms in the body, same enzymes, in order to be turned into many other molecules with health benefits. If you don't get the balance right, then one of them can't do its job. And so that happened to me. I became omega-6 deficient on flax oil. I got dry eyes, skipped heartbeats, arthritis-like pain in my finger joints, and thin, papery skin. And I fixed it by eating sunflower seeds, which have omega-6, but no omega-3. So when the balance came back, all of the problems went away. And I said, okay, I'm trying to get people healthy. Flax oil can actually hurt them. We need to make a blend. We may need to make a blend where the ratio is right. And so we made a blend that has 9 ingredients, and that became Udo's oil.
Ah, yeah. By the way, when I start to think about the possibility of interviewing you, I start to listen to interviews and I start to buy the Udo's oil that I do it now in my protein shake in the afternoons. And the skin is where I noticed the big difference.
Yeah, the skin is when we did surveys of people using the oil, skin was the one thing everybody raved about. Oh my God, my skin is so nice. Your skin because the omega-3 and omega-6 together, they form a barrier in the skin against the loss of moisture. So your skin becomes soft, smooth, and velvety. If you have dry skin, you need more of the right kind of balance of oils with omega-3s and 6s. And literally you need more in winter than in summer because skin gets drier in winter than in summer. And we found that about a tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight per day, which is about 2 to 4 tablespoons for most adults, is what it takes to make your skin soft and velvety. And skin gets them last and loses them first. And that's because your inner organs have to have omega-3 and omega-6. And you can live with dry skin, but if your heart dried out, that wouldn't work.
No.
So nature's wisdom says skin only gets them when the rest of the body has what it needs. So skin gets them last and loses them first. And that's why it's a good way to measure what your optimum intake is.
And for me, it's interesting because, yes, in the winter, I have a tendency to dry hands and all of that. Yeah. And how you try, I was trying to correct that to creams. And what understood is that now I can have that better skin by the intake of the water, the intake of the oils, and I don't need so many creams anymore.
And in fact, we have a little saying for that. The best way to oil your skin is from within.
Yes. Fascinating. Yeah. And if you allow to tell our listeners here, because you started this a long time ago, you have a long story. How old are you at the moment?
I will be 82 in May, so I'm 81 right now.
Yes. So you have a ton of experience. You have done this extraordinary work that now allows so many of us get the Udo oil. Yeah. Most people can find a place that has it and don't have to reinvent the wheel again. You already have done that. Yeah. And that allow you, because you, knowing you, listening to your interviews and the work that you are doing nowadays, you have tons of energy and vitality that I think is part, do you attribute this to this change that you have done in your life and the way that you live your life?
Okay, so there are different levels to that answer. The oil is the highest energy molecule. Omega-3 is the highest energy molecule among any of our essential nutrients. And it actually increases oxidation rate, increases metabolic rate, increases energy levels, elevates mood even. So there's a lot of things that come from the omega-3 that's missing in most people's diet. But the inspiration I felt being able to help a lot of people, that gives you a lot of energy too. You know, you can't be inspired and depressed at the same time. So inspiration is the cure for depression. So then the question is, what can you get inspired about? What is worth living for? What is worth doing? Where's your hope? Where can you make a difference? How can you help? Those things head you in the direction of inspiration. And then there's another level, which is a little deeper than inspiration. Your life is solar energy. The sun shines on the earth. Everything that lives on the earth lives by sunshine, by the grace of sunshine. And it's filtered through 93 million miles of space. Then it's filtered through the atmosphere. Then it's filtered through plants. And what remains, the fraction of solar energy, is stored in bonds between atoms to make molecules. You eat those molecules as food. And then in your cells, those bonds get broken, that energy is released. And that solar energy fraction is called life now because it's inside of you. Still solar energy, right? Well, that energy, so if you decide you want to get to know that energy, because you are actually that energy more than you are your body. If I say to you, hey, Anna, whose body is that? Like most people would say to me, that's my body. If you say that's my body, you've just told me that you're not the body, you're the owner. So who owns your body? Well, let's see, actually life owns your body. And then the question is, how well do you know yourself as life? And most people would say not very well, because I'm always looking away from myself. I never look into myself.
Wow.
So if you take time to sit still, to do nothing, to become as quiet, as still as you can, and go as deep into that stillness as you can, and stay there as long as you can, and maybe you breathe quietly and slowly and evenly, and then just observe what is there. And you will discover that there is light in your darkness, there is sound in your silence, there is love in your emptiness, and you can feel them. You see them, hear them, feel them. There's even sweetness in the blandness of your mouth. And that's you observing the energy, just like your senses observe energy on the outside. They don't observe things, they observe energy, right? Movement, shape, color, right? Sound, silence, beat, that's all energy. And we then abstract from sensory information that there's a building or there's a flower or there's a drum or there's an instrument or there's something. So we abstract that. That same senses that see the outside can also see the inside and see what's there and hear what's there. And then it goes one level deeper. Then it's the question is who sees, and what who sees is what we call internal awareness. So awareness is something, and energy is something, and inspiration is something. That's positive mind, I would say. Then there's physical, the body is something. And then it goes out protective mind, and then social group, and then natural environment, and then the big picture. Wow. Those are all different levels. Where different, that are different in their nature and need a different attention and go off in a different way and respond to a different intervention. And energy, having energy and being vital comes from being aligned with several of those levels.
And in many ways, what you're describing, the word that was coming to my mind, that you is like being one with oneself.
One with yourself, but one with the eight parts of yourself.
Yes.
Right?
With that alignment.
But it's one with. But you have to give each one a different kind of attention. So you have to do more than just eat right, or more than just pray really hard, or more than just invent a mindset. Because yep. The source of your energy is not the mindset. The source is your life.
Yes.
Source of energy. And then if you put that life through a good mindset, then that gives you good direction.
Love it. So right. Where can people learn more about you and your work? Where should we send them?
Okay, I have a website. It's udoerasmus.com. It's a work in progress. I'm also on Facebook and I'm on Instagram and I have a YouTube channel. And let's see what else is out there. LinkedIn. I'm also on LinkedIn under Udo Erasmus. If you go on Google and you punch in Udo Erasmus /podcast, you can hear some of the podcasts that I've done on oils and on total health and human nature. I'm very interested in human nature, to find the human unity in human nature. That's probably the biggest thing missing on this planet.
Yes.
That is destroying our lives.
I agree, absolutely. Yeah. I will make sure that all the links of your social media and websites are on the show notes of the Mindset Zone.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, let me give you just a website for the oil.
Perfect.
And it's www.florahealth.com/Udo.
Okay, florahealth.
florahealth.com/Udo,
U-D-O. Okay. Thank you so much.
Anna, thank you. Thank you for having me on. This is fun. I love when I get to talk about it. And I just have to thank you for being an amplifier If the message is good, amplification is as important as the message.
Agreed.
Expanding possibilities, the mindset.
Thank you for listening. And remember to follow this podcast. And if you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. That really helps us spread the word about the Mindset Zone. Also, visit mindset.zone. Yes, instead of .com is .zone. There you can find amazing resources and more information about my speaking and how I support purpose-driven individuals and organizations increase their impact while preventing burnout. As always, I'm so grateful you are here. Expand what's possible for you, for the ones around you, for the world.